بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday we had started this chapter, the new chapter, باب النهي عن التطير, the chapter on the prohibition of believing in omens. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا عدوى ولا طيرة ويعجبني الفأل. قالوا وما الفأل؟ قال كلمة طيبة متفق عليه. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no such thing as a contagious disease, and there is no such thing as an evil omen. We'll explain this now in detail. Although an omen pleases me, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, there is no such thing as a contagious disease, and there is no such thing as an evil omen, although a good omen pleases me. The Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in asked, what is a good omen? He replied, a good word. We explained this yesterday, but further, a good word, sometimes a person may hear something nice, he may meet a person, for example, by the name of Jamil, he may meet a person by the name of Hassan, so a person by the name of Jamil, he thinks, inshallah, everything will go good for the day, everything will be beautiful for the day. He's actually making a dua in his heart that something good must happen. Now, Islam likes this, where a person wishes good, he hopes positive, he makes these type of du'as. So Islam encourages this. This is something that is liked. So here a person doesn't take any type of bad luck, but there is something that way he makes du'a for something positive. This is something that is pleasing. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying in the last part of that hadith. When Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la adwa wa la tiyarata, وَإِنْ كَانَ الشُّومُ فِي شَيْءٍ فَفِي الدَّارِ وَالْمَرْأَةِ وَالْفَرَسِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no such thing as a contagious disease, and there is no such thing as an evil omen. If there was bad luck in anything, then it would have been in houses, women, and in horses. Why these three things specifically were mentioned? Because these things a person has a long relationship with. One is a woman that he is married to. That is a long relationship with. Sometimes there can be a lot of difficulties and hardship and problems unending. So if there was such a thing as bad luck, then it would have been in woman, the person who a person is married to, because of the difficulties and hardship in that long relationship. Or generally when a person has a house, now the problems sometimes are unending. One problem to another problem to another problem. So he, in his mind, he may think that there is bad luck in this house. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if there was bad luck, then it would have been in these three things. Again, there's a long relationship that a person has with the house. And a horse, an animal, his transport, normally there's a long relationship. Even in our times, if a person buys a car, he doesn't change a car every day. If there was some difficulty, some problem, and you have it, I get people sometimes endless problems they have with the car. So the difficulties and the hardship that they had with the car. So don't think that it's bad luck. If there was bad luck, then yes, it would have been in these three things. But there isn't such a thing as bad luck. And yesterday we explained in detail that making dua for good and hoping for good is something that is encouraged. But the person doesn't believe in luck and in anything as bad luck. Now just coming to explanation of this hadith that we did, that there is no such thing as a contagious disease. And this is something that is very commonly misunderstood. And because it is something that is commonly misunderstood, then it leads to a lot of division, it leads to a lot of uncertainty. Sometimes, because of this uncertainty, people say that, wa na'uzu billah, the hadith is outdated, the Quran is outdated, we can see it in front of our eyes, the things are spreading so much, so how can the hadith say, la adwa, like we did today, wa la tiyarata, there is no such thing as contagious diseases, and there isn't such a thing as omens. So how do we explain this now? So ulama explained very beautifully, and this explanation is not something that has come now, this explanation comes from the time of the mutaqaddimeen. Mutaqaddimeen means the early scholars of Islam. They have explained this. Hazrat Mawlana Ashrafi Thanvi rahmatullah says that there is two views, two acceptable views. From the early time, the early scholars of Islam, there's two views. One view is that there isn't such a thing as anything as contagious. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, la adwa wa la tiyarata. From the outset, understand that there isn't such a thing as contagious. There was once an occasion where a Bedouin had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had complained that sometimes you would find that the skin of the camel would be as beautiful as the skin of the deer. Beautiful. But the moment it would come into contact with other sickly camels, then it will also become sick. Its skin also now will become sickly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately told this person, Man a'adal awwal. If that is the case, then who made the first camel sick? In other words, the person that made the first camel sick also made this camel sick. Otherwise, if it had to be such that it had to come into contact with some other camel, then that first camel came into contact with which camel? So in other words, to correct the yaqeen of this person. So ulama explained that there are two acceptable views. The first view is that there isn't such a thing as sickness being contagious. So now the question will come up that there is another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that فِرَّ مِنَ الْمَجْذُومِ كَمَا تَفِرُّ مِنَ الْأَسَدِ, that flee from a leper like how you would flee from a lion. So within the context of the first view that there isn't such a thing as contagious diseases, then how do we explain the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that flee from the leper like how you would flee from the lion? So ulama explain it in this way, is this was said now by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to safeguard the iman of people. This is within the context of the first view, where there isn't such a thing as contagious diseases. So within this context, that flee away means to save yourself from your iman getting spoiled. If you happen to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving another person, third person, fourth person, fifth person, now your iman will start getting spoiled, and you may think that is because of this person, or you may get sick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may cause you to get sick, and to save your iman from getting spoiled, therefore you rather flee away from these type of people, so your iman doesn't get spoiled. So this is the first type and the first view where sicknesses are not contagious, and this is acceptable within the Shariat. So if anybody is following this view, then he is totally correct. Nobody can criticize him for being negligent. Nobody can criticize him for going against a view that is acceptable in Shariat. That he believes that there isn't such a thing as contagious diseases. There's nothing wrong in believing in this. And the next view is that association can be a cause for one being afflicted with the same sickness, just as there are other causes and effects. Like how you get other causes and other effects. For example, a person walks in the rain, this is the cause and the effect is he'll get wet. If a person sits in the sun, this is the cause of him feeling the heat. Person puts his hand in the fire, this is the cause of him getting burnt. So like how you get causes and you get effects, association is one cause and the effect is a person can pick up. Not that he will pick up, but he may pick up a disease with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second acceptable view. That like how you get causes and effect, this is a cause and this is an effect. That you flee because now it is cause and there's effect. Like how you, I explained, a person goes in the rain or goes sits in the sun, he'll feel the effect. So because of the effect of being in the company of this leper, you may pick up that sickness. So therefore flee away from the leper. This is within the context of the second view. And then, okay, how do we understand La adwa wa la tirata? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there is no contagious disease. Then this explanation comes in, that people would believe this to be like a monster. So now to get rid of that incorrect belief, that this thing by itself transfers, this monster goes from one person to the next person to the next person. So to get rid of that incorrect belief, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La adwa. There isn't such a thing as contagious diseases. So this is how you understand this within the context of the second view. Now there is one more dimension that fits in within the context of the second view. And that is to understand that there is such a thing as tawakkul. Tawakkul is, one is ilman, and the second type of tawakkul you get is amalan. Ilman means in a person's knowledge, he must have, and this is faraz, that in the knowledge he has, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is in full control of everything. And every person is in need of the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is faraz, that type of tawakkul is faraz. Ilman, in his knowledge, he should have this. The next type of tawakkul you get is amalan, where a person uses the means and then he trusts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is amali tawakkul, a person uses the means that needs to be used and he trusts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you get the highest form of amali tawakkul, where a person has got that type of iman, where he solely trusts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This comes within the context of the second view. And to just explain this dimension a little bit further, you get three types of causes and three types of effects. So the first type or the three type of causes you get are known as asbab-e-yaqiniyah. Those conclusive, those certain causes that will bring about certain effects. They are conclusive in their nature. They are certain in their nature. The next type is asbab-e zanniyya, those causes which are inconclusive. It may happen, it may not happen. And then you get the third type, asbab-e wahmiyya. This type is a very, very far-fetched cause, very far-fetched effect. In fact, ulama discourage a person even having this. A person should never have this. Is tool al-amal. Just to give an example of the third type, very far-fetched. A person now is bedridden, he's got cancer, he's sitting in bed. Now he thinks to himself, if he starts a set and he starts training, then there's hope that he'll win the comrades marathon. Now this is something that is very far-fetched. He's sickly, he's old, he's got terminal illness, and now he's thinking to himself that this will be the cause and this will be the effect. This is discouraged. A person shouldn't have these type of hopes. He should be realistic. Or a person is sitting now and he thinks that I want to become the richest person in the world, and he's sick, there's no hope. In fact, there's no, the person shouldn't even desire to be like this. So this third type, we won't speak about it. The first two types, asbab-e yaqiniya and asbab-e zanniya, those conclusive causes and those conclusive effects. One is a conclusive, a person is thirsty. So now when a person is thirsty, it is more conclusive, more certain, inshallah, that if he drinks water, then his thirst will go away. Or if a person is hungry, and now a person eats food, then now this hunger will go away. So now this type of cause, this type of sabab to use is faraz. Why? Because now to look after this person's body, if he doesn't eat at all, he doesn't drink at all, he will die of hunger, die of thirst. Now this sabab is necessary. This is asbab-e yaqiniya. Now it is faraz for a person to use these means, the means of eating, the means of drinking, etc. Or if you look at it from another angle, it's almost certain that if a person jumps from a 100-story building, he'll die. It's almost certain. So now it becomes totally haram for him to jump from that building. Or if a person is almost certain that if a person takes a gun and shoots himself in the head, then he will die. So now this is asbab-e yaqiniya. And the next thing which fits in with the second view is asbab-e zanniya. So as these are that are inconclusive, it may happen, it may not happen. Now this is what fits in with the second view, the view that if a person associates with a sick person, that sickness may pass on with the permission of Allah. This comes in within the dimension of asbab-e zanniya, those inconclusive, those apparent causes. It may happen, it may not happen. Many times even now you hear of people that are continuously in the company of those people that have got a disease that is contagious, but despite them being in that continuous state of association, they are not getting sick. And yet you will find a person with total protection, in total isolation, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the sickness. So therefore, these preventative measures and these precautions that a person would take will come under the second category, asbab and zanniya, those causes and effects that are not conclusive. Now what happens here is when there are causes and effects that are not conclusive, it is not for us to use these preventions. It is not absolutely necessary. If a person uses it, if it is good for him, if he wants to use it, if he feels that they are not good because they are not conclusive, then a person doesn't use it, but he doesn't create any type of friction. Person use it. There are many doctors. In fact, one specialist phoned me the other day, and he's talking to me and explaining to me, and he's saying that he's from all the different research that he has done, he doesn't find this precautions, this PPE, the different ones that are available, much effective, because even the doctors now, they're noticing in the hospitals that are in full protection, complete suits, they're also getting sick. And there are other doctors working in the same wards, treating the same patients also, but yet with much less protection, and yet they are not getting sick. So he's telling me in his own words, he says that I'm almost certain that these preventative measures are not working. So therefore these are known as asbab-e zanniya. If a person uses it, it's good. If a person chooses that with his knowledge or his ilm, that he's been guided by somebody in the medical profession, like this specialist who feels that is not working, so then he is at his liberty to follow that. We won't say it is faraz for him to take those precautions, and we won't equate the second category to murder. Why? Because something that is not conclusive, how can you equate it to something that is conclusive? Murder is completely conclusive. Therefore the ayat of the Quran says, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. That person who kills one person, who murders one person, is like killing the whole of mankind. And this is a common mistake people made. They take the second category as Babe Zanniya, those things that are not conclusive. It may happen, may not happen, and they equate it to murder. And now they start accusing other people of murder. Why? Because they're not taking those preventative measures that they see that is necessary. So remember, that's a completely different category that falls under Asbab-e Yaqiniya, those cases of murder, etc. So one can never ever equate a virus to a situation of murder. And now coming to the last part, so I trust inshallah this explains it. One is the first view, which is totally acceptable, the view that there isn't such a thing as contagious diseases. And then there is a second view, that if a person associates with another person that is sick, then through the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that sickness may or may not transfer. So this is the second view. And within the context of this view, you get this Asbab-e Zanniya, that this is, that may or may not transfer, is something that is inconclusive. Therefore, whether a person takes those preventative measures, or if he's advised not to take the preventative measures, and he's comfortable, a person can't be accused of murder, a person can't be accused of being irresponsible, a person can't be accused of being reckless, because this isn't something that is conclusive. Now what I'm explaining is all within the context and understanding of the Sharia. The last part is, now why there is such an issue with this? Because when it comes to the first category of not being contagious, medical science does not acknowledge this at all. There's no acknowledgement at all for the first view in Sharia. But remember something, Sharia is not in need of medical science approval. One example, simple example, the ruh, the soul. We believe and we know that after 120 days, the soul is put into the body of a human being. Ask medical science, they will give you no explanation. They'll say there's no evidence, they mention evidence-based substantiation to say that the soul comes into the body. In fact, there's no explanation for the soul medically, but yet we believe in it. So sometimes medical science has answers, sometimes it doesn't have answers. Sharia is not dependent on medical science to have the answers. We believe in what Allah Pak and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told to us. Similarly, at the time when a person passes away, we believe that the ruh comes out of the body. Medical science doesn't believe in the ruh. The concept of the ruh also is unknown within medical science. We believe that the person's life actually starts when he dies. Medically, it is proven and substantiated that the man is completely dead. There's no life for him after death. So all these things we believe according to Sharia. So therefore understand that whether the first view is understood by medical science or not, it doesn't make it incorrect, or it doesn't make it such that we should dispute about it. The fact that it's an acceptable view in Sharia, we should also accept it. A person should not be identified as being irresponsible if he accepts the view that there is no contagious. It is no contagion. Now the next part or the next angle to this is, what should we do? What should we do? The thing that we should do is ask ourselves what responsibility we have. Sometimes it is a responsibility that a person has to his aging parents, his aging family members. They are poor people in the community, they are elderly people in the community. Just yesterday one brother was telling me that he's assisting with the janazas. And he's saying that there are people that are saying that please our family members, we don't even want to come to the Kabristan because they have passed away of COVID. We don't want to come to the Kabristan. Do us a favor, just send us a picture of the Kabr and the picture of our loved member. What we can do is we're keeping that as memories. You all handle the janaza and you all handle the barja. So now when a person is taking this Asbab-e Zanniya, this inconclusive, may happen, may not happen, to such a level that he doesn't want to even visit his parents, he doesn't want to even visit the family members, he doesn't want to visit the sick, he doesn't want to attend the janazas, doesn't want to help the poor. Now this is taken to another level which is completely incorrect. Let's leave it on the level that it is, that is inconclusive. It may happen, may not happen. Let us not use this to sacrifice on our fara'is. A person has to look after his parents. He has to make them feel comfortable. He has to take care of the poor. A person should try at his best to try and attend janazas. This is something that is encouraged. How can we abandon the aspects of deen on something that is at the level of zanniya, something that is not conclusive? Because of that, now we are failing in our duties. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding, putting these things in perspective. Once a person understands this, then everything becomes very easy to understand. You will never find one person that is accusing another person. Another important thing to remember is if a person is using the preventative measures, the precautions, then he should not be looked down upon. Because here and now he is following whichever advice he is taking under this Asbab-e-Zanniya and under the second view that it may transfer, it may not transfer. So he is following this route. So this person also should not be accused of not having tawakkul. This is the way that he is using. So both views should be respected. Both types of people should be respected. No person should take it to such an extreme that what Islam expects of us we don't do. And no person should take it to such an extreme that this person accuses another person. No. We should live as an ummah and understand that from the time of the mutaqaddimeen, there are these two views. Person shouldn't be accused of being irresponsible if he has taken the first view, or he has taken the second view and he wishes not to take those preventative measures based on the advice that he is given. This person decides not to, then he should not be accused of being irresponsible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of having the true amal, the true yaqeen, the true ilm, the true knowledge, the true love, the true muhabbat, the true spirit that Muslims ought to have, and the true understanding of deen. See how beautiful our deen is. It encompasses everything. Sometimes we may understand it, sometimes we may not understand it, but just because of the lack of understanding, sometimes we end up fighting, we end up disputing. But if a person puts everything in perspective, he realizes what a beautiful teacher Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us muhabbat. All those people that have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him jannatul firdos. All those that are sick, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that he gives them complete cure, complete shifa, and may Allah give it such that we are able to fulfill all the duties, huququllah, the duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and huququl ibad, those rights and those duties of fulfilling, helping, assisting, caring for the poor, sickly, etc. Allah give us the tawfiq of fulfilling those rights also. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.